Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bloggin' News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be the host for this program. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the entertainment world. My guest today has just released a bang-up album. Tokyo Rosenthal has Ghosts out. It's been out for, what, 5 days?
5 days now. Came out January 18th, Simon. Hello, everybody.
Tokyo, or may I call you Toke? I think we're friends these days.
Toke's fine.
Toke's fine. In fact, that is what his friends call him. We have talked before, but for the listeners, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I guess I'm what they call these days a singer-songwriter. I like to think of myself as a little bit more, but that's the category. I live in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Originally grew up, though, in New York, and lived all over the country, though. Lived in Los Angeles for a lot of years. Been gigging off and on for about, and writing and recording for about 30 years. But I'd like to think, as I think you even wrote in one of your reviews, my musical renaissance has been really strong the last 5 years, starting with the One Score and Ten record, which got me on radio, followed by Love One Out, which was my second CD, and that was the first one to break into the charts. And now the new release, which is my third full-length record, Ghosts, which just came out, as we mentioned, this past Monday.
Ghosts is very different from the other two CDs, you know, One Score and Ten and Love One Out. How do you view this new release?
Well, I really enjoyed the experience with this. It was... The production on it was a little bit different. It was spread out over a lot longer period of time, and it allowed me to produce it in a way that think it out a little bit more, spend a little bit more time with each song, perfect it, experiment maybe a little bit more, if you will. As you know, I started actually recording it with Mr. Tell Me About the Great Depression, which we put out as an early single last January. And finished recording the record and mastering it, I would say, probably in August or September, and then we let it sit on the shelf until now because we didn't want to put it out in the Thanksgiving and Christmas rush, so, which was very frustrating, by the way, Simon. You know, you can imagine how I was climbing up the wall that I had this album in the can because, as you know, I'm used to putting out the album and having it, you know, on the radio a week later. And to have it sit on the shelf for 3 months or 4 months waiting to technically put it out, well, it was difficult, but I think it's eclectic as Love One Out was, but maybe a little bit more. I think I did a few more hard rocking songs on this. Maybe it's a little bit more electric, but at the same time, there's a song on there called House on the River, where it's basically guitar, bass, and cello. And my voice, you know, so I've got the mellow stuff going on there too, and then there's a song in there very much influenced, jazz influenced, where I go into a 5-4 break in the solo called Feelings Don't Know Any Age, so touched on my jazz heritage just a little bit there.
I've got to admit that I saw the first two albums as very much the result of a workman working hard, honing his craft. Ghosts, in my mind, is an exploration of new vistas. You're looking for a different direction. Am I right in that?
I don't think that I go about it trying. I don't have a plan in advance. That's not to say I'm a total hip shooter by it, but I'm driven by lyrics. And I would say 9 times out of 10, and in this album, 10 times out of 10, I will write the lyrics first and then write the music. Every once in a while, I'll come up with a riff or something like that and then try to write words to the riff. But for the most part, I'm driven by the lyrics. And so where I'm going with that is if I've got a certain lyric, I'll come up with the music that I think fits the mood for what it is that I'm trying to say. And then the song progresses from there. So I don't sit there and write out a plan and say, oh, this is going to be a bluegrass album, or this is going to be a country rock album, or this is going to be a hard rock album. It's sort of like, well, the first song, Inside Your Skull, was, you know, hard rock. It just
yes,
took off,
it is.
You know, and yet it's got, you know, it's got pedal steel in it, and it's got some, you know, country harmonies. It was actually, in a funny way, sort of influenced by an old version of Ravon that the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band covered. And I said, and that kind of like was in the back of my head while I was recording this, but you know, which was an odd kind of a sound for the Dirt Band too, if you will. And then there's a song, you know, Still She Thanks God, which was actually, you know, I'll give you the version later on if you'd like.
In fact, why don't we listen to Still She Thanks God?
Cool, then I'll tell you what it's about after we listen. Great.
Okay, all right.
Every drawer, every door that opens brings distress. A constant guest at her address, inside her little acre. And yet gets up each day, never being sure, searching for the cures, ready for that toll that life will take her. Mastering how to change your hand, to rearrange the cards, hard as it may get, doubling down her bed, still she thanks God. Where there was two, there now is one. I felt that loss too. Shared a view, got paid in lieu of other favors. Time heals all wounds, and maybe more, but an open soul is an easy load to stop fighting. Nursing now and caring then, the extra mile, the extra yard, my excessive fans are running in the sand, still she thanks God. Still she thanks God. Still she thanks
I have to say that this is just a wonderful track. It's a great track.
Thank you. Now, before
we played it, you had a story. What's the story?
Well, I'm of the firm belief that every musician or singer-songwriter should have at least one unconditional fan. And I'm fortunate that I have one, and it's a very cliched one. It's my mother. And my mom, you got me. That's true. Yeah. You'll get a song in the next album, Simon. So my mom was always saying to me, you know, she would say, hey, Toke, you don't have to wait until I die to write a song about me. And, you know, well, I don't just put them in the oven and they come out, though, either. And my mom, by the way, she's the kind, she's taking people outside of stores, dragging them into her car, making them listen to my music on the car stereo and everything. So she's just, if you're down in, you know, Florida and you see, like, this 81-year-old redhead, you better stay clear of her unless you want to listen to my music. So mom is always dealing with a lot of adversity in her life, but she's very spiritual, unlike myself. And I figured, she's always thanking God no matter what's going on. You know, oh, the house just fell down, but thank God, you know, the bathroom is still working. You know, it's like, I came up with the line, still she thanks God. And so I wrote the song about her. And I'm very happy with the way it comes. It's a type of song, too. I think, you know, getting back to our theme before about the difference on this record, that's a song that could have been, in my opinion, on the Love Worn Out album.
Absolutely.
It's very much like If I Could Draw My Heart or something like that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And Bobby Britt's fiddle work was fantastic on it, and Al Perkins... His pedal playing, pedal steel playing just underneath, for me it makes the track between him. You know, I like what I do, and I wrote the song, but I just get off so much on Bobby and Al on what they did on this record.
Oh, I think it is just a wonderful, wonderful track. And
thank you.
I do hope that your mother likes it.
She cries a lot when she hears it.
The world of the studio, though, is far different from the world of being on the road. You know, even household names cannot make the economics work to travel with full bands. You know, in Ghosts, we've got lots of different styles, lots of different musicians. How do you take Ghosts on the road?
It's not as tough as you might think. I mean, there's just some songs that just won't work. I'm not going to try to attempt to do the 5/4 solo that I do on Feelings Don't Know Any Age without piano and flute, because just that's the way the song is written. And if at a particular point in time I'm on the road and can bring that kind of music out there, then I'll attempt those songs. But right now, for instance, I'm touring right now with a really fine guitar and mandolin player named Charlie Chamberlain. And he's a youngster. Charlie's all a youngster, at least compared to me. He's all a 28 years old. And he's just this terrific virtuoso. And when you'd be amazed between the two of us, take a song like Still She Thanks God. Charlie plays mandolin on it. I play guitar, and I'm able to pretty much solo. And my songs are very vocal-oriented, so as long as I'm singing strong, and I don't have a problem volume-wise, if nothing else, I maybe go flat now and then, but volume-wise, I'm going to be fine when I'm gigging. So between my vocal and Charlie either playing electric guitar or mandolin and my acoustic guitar, we're able to pull off most of the tunes and get a pretty full sound and come close to recreating even a song like you'd be surprised and not to toot our own horns, but if we do a song like Inside Your Skull Live, we boogie on it pretty good even without the drums, you know, behind the track. So we can get away with that sort of stuff. But what you're saying is true, Simon. It's tough. I mean, I'd love to be on the road with a 4- or 5-piece group and have a pedal player all the time, but I also don't want to do it in a way where it's like, hey, guys, I'm going on tour for 3 weeks. Let's slap a band together. Because I've seen too many bands like that out on the road, and they sound like a slap-together band.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, this song's in G, and the, you know, so the pedal steel player plays whatever the typical G riff is that he knows, instead of really, you know, knowing the songs well and having the songs, you know, really work good. Because what happens with bands like that, they go out on the road for 3 weeks, and the last 2 days of the tour is when they really know the songs. And you know, and I'd rather, you know, I'd rather just do it myself, because obviously I know the songs, or work with somebody like I'm working with Charlie, who, you know, spends a lot of time. We live in the same town, spends time at my house. You know, we're playing the local gigs together. Or Bobby Britt, you know, my fiddle player, he'll go out and play some dates with me, and he, you know, he played on the record, so obviously he knows his parts.
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago I talked to Al Stewart, and I love Al, I really do. You know, and he very much said the same thing you said. You know, put to you know, take a full band out there anymore. He travels with, but you know, they've managed to do so much, you know, just the two of them, that they don't need the full orchestra.
Well, I'll give you another case in point. I just got back. I did a tour of the UK. I was in England and Scotland, and I played this great place up in St. Andrews called the Inn at Lathones. It's just a great place to stay and a great place to hear good music. And about a week before I got there, Kinky Friedman was there and playing solo. And for two nights, and I was really odd. I saw this because this was like a really top-notch place. It was such a top-notch place that when I got the call to play there, I said, well, who am I opening for? And they said, oh, you're headlining. And I said, really? He says, well, yeah, you know, you deserve it. I said, well, okay. I said, but the night afterwards, Little Feet are playing there. And I was like, you know, always been a big Little Feet fan. And it turns out that where I'm getting to in the story is that it wasn't the full Little Feet band. It wasn't a seven-piece band. It was the two lead guys on an acoustic tour. And basically, for pretty much the same reason, it was, you know, they could go out and play these particular clubs with just the two guys. And they don't need a whole band, and they can't afford to bring a whole band out. They're not playing stadiums. It's like my buddy Chris Hillman. Chris is out there. Chris Hillman and Herb Peterson, you know, go out there, play their gigs, just the two of them, mandolin and guitar. And if you know what you're doing, and you don't try to attempt something too crazy, you're going to sound like a full band anyway, as long as it's a nice listening room.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you do not need the orchestra if you know what you're doing.
Right.
But so many people don't. The last time we talked, you were on what you called your coal miner's daughter tour.
Right, yeah, I was emulating Loretta Lynn.
Right.
She was out there going from station to station.
Yeah. Right, for the uninitiated, Loretta Lynn actually piled a whole bunch of demo discs in the trunk of a car and traveled from city to city, banging on radio stations' doors and saying, "Why don't you play this?"
Well, it worked. I mean, I don't show up unannounced. I want to be clear about that, because I don't want any radio station guys out there, you know, having my face on the wall. If this guy shows up, don't let him in. But I do, you know, what I found, especially in Americana radio and AAA radio stations in general, what I found is that they're very welcoming. They're happy to see me. Or I guess any other acts when they come out there, but I know that at least that they're happy to see me. They give you a lot of time on the air. I'll go in, I'll play a couple of tunes live, I'll answer some questions, and we'll spin a few. And if nothing else, when I left there, I know that if nothing else, that my song has, you know, my record's been played while I was there. What happens after I leave, who knows? But it's a good way to get the DJs to know you. One of the things I know in the short time, just the 5 days that Ghosts has been out right now, is that it's been so much easier for me to open doors. I've already gotten the first list of plays and what stations are playing it already. And it's so much easier because they don't have to be introduced to who Tokyo Rosenthal is. I've got the first two albums, done, and now the third album is, they know me. They're not thinking about, are they going to play me? They're going to play me. It's just a matter of how much.
Do you actually have a plan for Ghosts? Are you going to do another Loretta Lynn
Of course, tour? Yeah. It's already in place. The next tour I go on, we start off in the Northeast, and a place that, to digress for a second, I'm very excited about playing. I'm opening at the Bitter End in New York City on February 10th. And for those that don't know about the Bitter End, I mean, everybody has played that club from Joni Mitchell on down. This was just the premier place in New York. And so I'm very excited about getting the headline there on February 10th. But we'll open up on a Northeast tour and basically working my way up to Boston and then back down and hitting radio stations along the way as well. And then I'll go on pretty much an exclusive radio station tour the whole month of March, just hitting stations, starting out with what we call the Mid-South and, Virginia and the Carolinas and Georgia, and then working my way to Texas. And then kind of like depending on how the record's doing, maybe start to hit things west of the Rockies. I've been as far as Denver doing radio station tours, but I haven't ventured over the mountain. I'm waiting to see what happens and if it makes sense to go further. And what you kind of do is you let the radio stations or the gigs dictate which comes first. If I've got a radio station in Columbia, South Carolina that I'm going to do an interview on, then I'll try to find a gig while I'm there. Or if I have a gig in Greenville, South Carolina, then I'll try to find a radio station there. So it kind of you kind of put it together. But to answer your question, March is going to definitely be a focus on getting the car and go from station to station.
Well, if you happen to make it to Mississippi, I want to shake your hand.
Well, I've been threatening to come down there by you, and get down there. If nothing else, I love the food down there, and to get to see you at the same time, I figured that would be worth it alone.
A question that doesn't get asked enough, or maybe it does get asked, but two people or too few people actually know how to answer it because they don't understand the music industry. How many out of town gigs do you do each year?
I do, well, the last 3 years, on overall, I've averaged 100 shows a year. I don't know if it sounds like a lot or it sounds like a little, but I can tell you that it's a lot.
it's a huge amount.
That's an average of two a week, but of course it doesn't always play out like that. Sometimes you're doing five or six a week. How much of it is on the road? I usually do two Northeast tours a year, and the Northeast tour for me means basically starting in New York, working my way up maybe as far north as Portland, Maine, and then hit back down. I'll do a Texas tour, and it's a big state, so it depends on but you're certainly going to do Austin and Dallas and Fort Worth and Houston, if nothing else. And then you kind of like feel out other stuff. I just did a one-off down in Florida, and sometimes you don't always have your marketing plan is sometimes dictated by other circumstances. As I mentioned, my mom lives down in Florida, so I was very happy when I got a call to do this one show in West Palm, because normally who's going down to West Palm to do one show? But I figured, okay, I'll go down, I'll do West Palm and visit mom, and everybody was happy, and it all worked out cool. Then there's the foreign aspect of it, though. I've been fortunate, and you and I have touched on this before. My music, not that it's been ill-received in the States, but it's been a whole lot better received in Europe. UK, Holland, Belgium,
Germany,
and well, Canada too. But you know, there's part of me that still looks at Canada as, you know, that's North America. It's driving distance anyway. I can drive there. But you know, going over there, so I'm going back again. As I mentioned, I just got back in November from doing 2 weeks in the UK, and I'm going back again the last week in April and the first week in May to do the UK again, and this time, you know, and possibly hit Scandinavia and Belgium while I'm over there, or make a separate trip over there. You know, I've played Germany last year. I've played Japan. and the only place I haven't gotten to that I'd really like to get to, besides Scandinavia, is Australia, because that's not a trip you take casually. You really have to, you don't just show up and think about where you're going to play. You got to have everything in place. And I'm getting, the funny thing is I get really good airplay over there, but it's I found it a little bit hard to break into their circuit, so at the moment I haven't had a chance to go there.
I'll tell you what, how about we listen to another track?
That would be cool.
There Is No Perfect Love work for you?
Great song. Go ahead.
Okay.
My day of reckoning has come, the eve of my destruction. Now it's your turn to judge. There is no perfect love. So this is how we turn 33. The veil's been cut, you see me now. See me fall from the pedestal above. There is no perfect love. Wanna know why? Want to know why? Just like I need fresh air to breathe, you fill me up off the web I leave. As you call, as you say it leaves, take me back, take me back.
One damn fine fiddle player.
That's the Bobby Britt. Again, I call them kids because when I play, sometimes he and me and Charlie, I play as a trio out there, and Bobby's all of 26 years old, Simon, and mm-hmm. he's amazing. And my producer and bass player Chris Stamey, he lives across the street from Chris, and it goes back to the very first album, One Score and Ten, where I said, you know, I want fiddle on this particular track, and he said, well, why don't we try this kid who lives across the street, you know? And I was very apprehensive. I said, you know. And in comes Bobby, who's about, I don't know, 6'3", 6'4", but probably weighs about 110 pounds. He comes, you know, walking in with his fiddle, you know, just opens up the case, goes in there, and then nails it on the first take. And I was like, okay, I'm not gonna let him out of my sight. You know, he's got to be on every record and play some gigs, too. And he was great. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you can hear the really cool clawhammer style banjo of Jim Eisenberg mm-hmm. in the background there. And Jim was a new member to recording with me on this album. He played on three tracks and really added some great stuff, and he's really does some interesting things on that, because he's got a different style of playing banjo and really good at it too. So I really like the way that track came out. I'm not going to try to hide the fact that I'm very pleased with it.
I think all of the musicians just come out so well. But I do have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You did wonders for Edmonton, even though they didn't win the Stanley Cup. my wife wants to know if you can help the Saints.
Well, you got it. You're asking a diehard New York Giant and New York Jet fan, and since the Jets are still alive,
Lord, I watched the Jets.
And by the way, Simon, there's no shortage though of New Orleans songs, you know. Louis Armstrong, you know, nailed that years ago. So,
nah, I mean, the New York Jets cheated last weekend.
Well, I don't know if they cheated, but they certainly got lucky, because those guys missed three field goals, and I was like, okay, let them just keep missing field goals. But, you know, hey, we'll see what happens this weekend.
Well, where can people buy Ghosts? In fact, where can people find One Score and Ten?
Well, call my mother. She's selling them out of the back of her trunk or something. Out of south. The best place to go, to make it easy for everybody who's listening here, is to go just to TokyoRosenthal.com. And my wife, who built me a beautiful website, also put all the information on the homepage on how to sell CDs. So they're there. But you know, if you want to get aggressive, you can go to CD Baby has them all. CDBaby.com, iTunes has all my music. Amazon has it. I was amazed today. You talk about how fast things happen in this business. Like, the record just came out on Monday, and somebody sent me a link. Amazon has it up already, that you could download the tracks on Amazon. So I was like, okay. So between Amazon, iTunes, and CD Baby, you know, they pretty much have a lot of it covered. You can find them. You actually can find them in stores now too, hard copies. I signed a distribution deal with Dynasty Records, and FYE Stores, which is one of the few chains left in business these days, are starting to stock my music in markets where I'm getting play. I'm actually making a live performance, a live appearance / performance, in the FYE store on Washington Street in Boston. So if you're within the sound of my voice, you want to come to Washington Street in Boston on February 13th at 4 o'clock, I will be there performing live and autographing copies of Ghosts.
I'm going to say this to everyone that is listening. Don't go for the MP3. Go for the CD. It's way nicer. I have one, but mine wasn't signed.
Well, I didn't want to take the shrink wrap off. if we pay extra for that shrink wrap. If you notice, that's like the hardest shrinkwrap in the world to open, too. I don't know. Disc Makers does a great job producing my records, but that is like hermetically sealed in that shrink wrap. It's tough. It's a tough shrink wrap to get off. But I agree with you. As you know, you and I have talked before. I'm not a big fan of downloading. I'm really would love to see, you know, the resurgence of the hard copy CD out there and the Mon Pa CD store, where you walk in and, you know, they actually know you and can recommend something, and they've got something playing in the store that you've heard of, instead of walking into these electronic emporiums where you got computers to the left and, you know, and satellite dishes to the right and you know, a few CDs, and nobody knows what they've got there or what's in stock.
And more importantly, no one cares.
No, they don't, and it's a shame. You know, I miss the days of that. And I just really would love to see it come back. And I think that the majors could do that. All they need to do is put out a good $5 CD and start opening up stores again. And I think if you put it out at the right price, I mean, people still want to put stuff on their iPod, but I think if you can give them a way to buy a hard copy at a reasonable price, they'll do that, and then they'll download it on their iPod if they want to. If they don't, then they'll listen to it, you know, in some other manner.
Well, you know, I kind of take the opposite approach. I love the download for free. You know, you can try before you buy. And if you really like something, you're going to go out and buy it.
I would think, because I just know that, you know, and if I can use myself as an example, if you're listening to the song you just played, you're going to want to sit there and say, wow, that's a great fiddle part. Well, aren't you going to want to know who played the fiddle part? And the only way you're really going to find that out is if you buy the record and read the liner notes. Otherwise, there's just no identity anymore to who the people are, what they look like, who's playing on the tracks, you know, and all the other various stuff that comes with having that hard copy in front of you while you're listening to it.
Oh, exactly. What are you going to do now that Ghost is out?
Take a nap.
Take a nap.
No, well, what happens now, really, Simon, is and you touched on this a little bit before, saying I know in the music business, the bad part is I have a marketing background. And so the other identity of myself kind of takes over, this persona that knows there's some place to market 24/7. And you're just always looking for, okay, you know, what radio station can I send an email to, or thank for playing my record, or you know, I'll call my radio promo guy and say, gee, you know, we didn't get enough airplay in this market. What's going on there? And are we going to get on the Americana Music Association chart? Did we hit all the stations properly there? So it's basically, it's marketing. And I think so many musicians that are out there, people that I run into, I don't say this in a condescending manner, just the fact that they don't have a sense of what to do after they put their record out.
They don't.
and the bad news is that I do, so I don't rest. It's just like, seriously, as you know, there's always something to do on a marketing level. There's always somebody that hasn't heard your record, or there's always, you know, something, some press release to be written or some milestone that's going to take place. I mean, I was really happy to see I'm just about approaching 5 million plays on MySpace, which is like, I don't know who these people are, but somebody's, I think maybe it's my mom is down there just playing my mind. She's just like always, you know, playing these tunes on MySpace. But I'm about to hit 5 million plays, which is, you know, and I'm sitting there going, okay, well, we have to put out a press release about that. I don't know if that's a lot of plays or not, but it seems like a lot to me. And I've only, because the site's only existed for a year, so that's 5 million plays in a year. That's a lot. So, you know, so anyway, that's just an example. You sit there and say, okay, press release out for this, or, you know, oh, gee, time to do another radio station tour. Oh, I haven't played Japan lately. Let's get some gigs there. And it's just, there's always something to do. So there is no rest.
There is absolutely no truth in the story that you just turn up at radio stations with your boxing gloves on and, you know, CD in hand, play this,
or else, yeah. Well, there's a little bit of truth in it. I try not to show up unannounced, but if they won't let me in the door, then, you know, no. It's, I have to say...
Okay, I do think you need to explain the boxing gloves.
Well, it's funny. It's the rumor about me has grown to mammoth proportion. I was. Let me be clear about one thing, because I don't want some people to come up and start picking fights with me in bars and say, let's see how tough you are. You know, I don't want to go there. I was not a professional fighter. I was an amateur fighter, and you know, and I still train and box and was involved in the boxing business too. I was a commentator of boxing on television for many years, and I still occasionally call a fight now and then if I get a telephone call. And that's, you know, the nickname Tokyo Rosenthal goes back to my boxing amateur days, and that's all I'll say about it.
Tokyo, I think that's a wonderful way to describe it.
No, and I mean, because the way that, you know, you have publicists that get a little bit out of control, I mean, they'll put out, you know, they'll have me heavyweight champion, ex-heavyweight champion of the world or something, you know. It's like, I said, please, you know, it's like, that I wasn't even good. that's part of the problem. I mean, in another interview someday we'll talk about that, but I had my nose broken in the first 10 seconds of my first amateur fight, so I was, you know.
Oh, we'll do that on your next CD. So, Toke, how did your nose get broken in the first 10 seconds?
Yeah,
and you'll be going, oh, I thought this was an interview about my CD.
Exactly.
My automated nag is telling me that I have to finish this interview right now. Tokyo, I really want to thank you for taking time out to talk with us this afternoon.
No, my pleasure as always, Simon.
This is great. I mean, you are one of the people that I go, oh, it's Tokyo, of course I'm going to interview him. He's a great guy.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I love you being interviewed by you as well.
All right. Let's talk again soon. This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, wishing everyone a great day, and let's talk again soon. Goodbye.